has a favorite sport? Anybody?
Soccer.
Yeah. Soccer, good. Arlene?
Basketball.
Basketball, that's fun.
Baseball,
sweet.
Football.
Football, of course. Anybody over here?
Tennis.
Nice. Of course, Marge. That makes sense coming from you. Tennis. I know you play. Anybody swim? Ride bikes? Huh? Anybody gamble? Oh, wait. That's not a sport. Just trying to throw you off. Any other favorite sports?
Volleyball.
Volleyball is a great one. Excellent. Anybody?
Golf.
Golf is another great one. Thank you. Thank you. Of all these sports, every single one of them, there's only one that uses the word home. What sport is that?
Baseball.
Man, what is up with baseball? You know, baseball is a very, very curious sport. It was started in the mid-1800s, prior to the Civil War. It took off across our then fledgling country, across the North and the South, as they began to divide up and take sides. In fact, during the Civil War, whether North or South, generals, when they went to a new encampment, the very first thing they built after the mess hall was a baseball diamond. And so throughout, if we had drones back then and we were able to sort of observe the different encampments across the South, we would notice baseball diamond after baseball diamond after baseball diamond. And I think it's interesting, maybe you do too, that it's the only sport where the goal is doing what? Going home. Three bases, first, second, and third. And we have lots of different ways of earning bases, making the run across the diamond and finally earning that run, stepping across home plate. But you know, there's lots of different ways of getting across home, and some people steal home plate. You seen a ball? Back in 1955, it was a Jackie Robinson who was one of the first players in the league to steal home plate. It was just a mind-blowing event. Who was the home run, home base stealer king? Baseball player who stole home plate the most. You know, I thought it was Ty Cobb.
Roy Carew holds a single season.
Single season, bases stolen home. So it's just amazing, stealing home plate. But then you think about that, stealing home? What kind of unfriendly thing is that? Like, why doesn't the umpire just say, come on, you're welcome home. Come on. Of course, to steal a home plate, you have to be already on third or maybe second, but the play action is in a different part of the base. Maybe the pitcher is throwing somebody out at first. Maybe something else has happened in the outfield. Perhaps there was an error of some kind. But anyway, in that right moment, you go ahead and you make your steal you steal home plate, and so you finally get home. Many of us during the holiday season will be traveling to different homes. But the idea of travel, going home, is an interesting idea because it's almost as if where we are isn't home. So as much as we all have a place where we grew up, and maybe there's family that live in a certain place, we might call that going back home. I wonder how good it is that all of us might feel that Cold Spring Church is kind of a home, a spiritual home. And especially for those who have chosen to participate or engage, you know, differently, like you all have, this is a spiritual home, a place of welcome. And this community deserves to find such a spiritual home. There are lots of churches across our greater Cape May area. And those that share the good news story about Jesus, they also should be places of being a spiritual home. And you don't need to steal home to get there. You know, Jesus, when he was predicting, telling the disciples about his upcoming death, he told them, I don't want you to be upset. I understand that when I leave, you're going to be alone. And I know that you are going to wonder what is going on in your life when things begin to take a turn. Because no longer are the crowds going to flock to you and just to see the latest miracle being done or to hear the words that I would speak, and people were just attracted to be with Jesus. He took time to be with people. But you will be anxious. But I don't want you to lose heart, because in my Father's house are many homes. He said, I am going there on purpose to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you too shall be. Imagine how those words might have rung in the ears of the disciples. They were losing their home base. They were losing their safe place. They were losing Jesus, as we read in our Colossians reading, that Jesus, the creator of the universe, who holds all things together. If we ever feel that our life is unraveling, there's no better place to go than Jesus, because Jesus is the one that has that eternal glue, that eternal magnetic pull that keeps things in their proper perspective. And the disciples knew that if Jesus were to die, they couldn't possibly go another day. And so Jesus says, don't you worry, because when I go, I'm going to be preparing a new home for you, so that where I am, you too shall be. So fast forward a few years, and Jesus has done his work, and now Jesus is hanging on a cross in the place of the skull. Now, of course, that nickname was well-deserved. It was a place where there were lots of skulls. It was a place where people died, but it was also oddly shaped, historians say, in sort of an odd human head form. And it was simply the garbage pit outside Jerusalem. Nobody would want to kill anybody inside the city gates. And so they took people to their death out on a hill on the other side of the wall. And it was there that Jesus hung, but he did not die alone. He had two buddies on either side of the cross. As we read in our text this morning, one of them just hurled insults at Jesus, recognizing that if Jesus was the Savior of the world, how in the world are you hanging right now on this cross? Even the Roman soldiers also asked him the same question. Oh, look, there's all the things you've said and told us about. Obviously, that can't be true. If you are the Son of God, they said, pull yourself down from that cross and stand right here. We will believe. Well, truth of the matter is, that even if Jesus did that, they probably wouldn't believe. Because Jesus, for years and years, raised people from the dead, fed people with bag lunches, thousands of people. He raised those that were sick back to health. He even gave a woman at the gate of town going out for a funeral one day. He met the funeral and stopped it dead in its tracks and said, "You, rise up." And that young man rose up back to life, and Jesus returned him to his mother. So Jesus did all these amazing things, and yet there's always a choice about Jesus, whether we're going to follow him or not. And so on that cross, everyone just imagine that nobody else will follow Jesus because he's going to die. And only John of his disciples, and Mark maybe a little further off, but only one of Jesus' disciples was really right there with him. Even they had deserted him. They thought the end was surely there. But there was another person on the cross, a thief, by most accounts. And this thief on the cross yells across to the other thief on the cross and says, "What is wrong with you? Jesus doesn't deserve to die on this cross, but you do, and I do. Why are you hurling insults at him? He has never sinned." Jesus heard that. This thief hanging on the cross, I wonder what kind of things he stole. I wonder what it was in his life that he felt that he couldn't be a giver. He had to be a taker. What was it about his experience? Maybe growing up, maybe some traumatic events in his life. Maybe some other addictions affected his life or his judgment. For whatever reason, he made bad choices upon bad choices, and this thief on the cross thought the only way to get through life was to take, 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 Steal, steal, steal. Grab, hoard, and never share. This thief on the cross learned a pattern of life. But I wonder what he was like as a teenager. Can you imagine with me that maybe this thief on the cross, who criticized the other thief on the cross, saying that we deserve this, leave Jesus alone. I wonder if he saw Jesus feed the 5,000. I wonder if that thief on the cross might have been one of Zacchaeus' friends. Remember when Jesus invited himself over to Zacchaeus' house for lunch with all the other tax collectors, those bad people who cheated people out of their hard-earned money? I wonder if he was one of those same tax collectors. Maybe he was a cheater and a taker. I wonder if he was present when Jesus raised that boy back to life and gave him back to his mother. I wonder if that thief on the cross maybe overheard Jesus when he was saying that this temple should be a house of prayer and you have made it a den of what? Thieves. I wonder if this thief on the cross, throughout his life, experienced Jesus in countless ways, but never really made that connection that Jesus was in fact the Savior of the world, God in the flesh, who moved into his neighborhood so that he wouldn't have to be a taker. That God is not a taker. That God is the God who says, I created you to go and enjoy life and enjoy me. God is the God who gave us Jesus. He didn't take us for a ride. God, our creator, doesn't put us in predicaments so that he can laugh his way and just, oh, look at those people. Aren't they having a terrible time? No, our God is with us saying, I love you so much, I'm going to move into your home, move into your town. I want you to understand that when I say all are welcome, I mean all are welcome. And that God loved the world so much that he gave, not take, he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes can have life everlasting. That thief on the cross, he was a taker. He learned how to take what he needed. And we see how that ended up for him. Finally, he got caught. He finally was punished for his wrongdoing. And there on that cross, in the most unplanned kinds of ways we might imagine, he is right next to the Savior of the world who came in that moment to give. Jesus was giving his life for us, but also for that thief that condemned him, but also for that thief that offered an affirmation of faith. He says to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You know, in the Old Testament times and in throughout history, nobody just gets to see the king. You want to see the king, you got to know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody. You can't even walk in on the king unannounced. You need permission to do that. And here this thief, knowing that Jesus is the king of a kingdom that cannot be seen, that God wants us to help manifest every day, he says, King Jesus, when you go into your kingdom today, please remember me. I wonder what kind of answer he expected. Mr. Taker Thief, the one who thought he could steal home, the one who maybe spent his whole life trying to get meaning and purpose out of his life. And then Jesus replies, truly I tell you, today, you will be home with me. You know, a lot of us perhaps are looking for that place called home today. Some of us are going to be traveling to places called home. But God has placed us here in Cold Spring, so that this could be a spiritual home where everyone can be welcomed. Cape May is a place that God loves even more than we do. As we drive around, as we spend time this week getting ready for a wonderful holiday, this Thanksgiving time when our nation remembers the gratitude to our Creator for giving us opportunities to be a giver and not a taker. And our nation is at its best when we are giving, not taking. Our nation is at its best when we're welcoming, receiving, not judging or cajoling. And so God has placed us here to be that kind of a giving church, and we do amazing each and every week, Monday through Saturday. That thief learned a lesson late, maybe in the time frame. He finally realized when he was next to the King of giving, the King of loving, his Creator, the King, Jesus, he says, just remember me. You know, you don't need to keep taking life to get it. You don't need to take things to have needs met. You don't need to take things to get ahead. Instead, Jesus invites us to give. And in the giving we receive, and in the offering we are blessed, and in our expression of generosity, we experience God's abundance. Abundance that will have no end. Cold Spring Church, Cape May, your home and my home, welcome home. Let us pray.